Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Meredith Whitaker in this morning from Mary Washington Healthcare. It is a Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're going to talk about breast surgical oncology this morning with Dr. Whitaker. Dr. Whitaker, it's great to meet you. Good morning. Thank you for getting up early and coming in this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
You were just telling me you've been here for about a year. So how did you get into this part of medicine?
So I've always been interested in surgery. So in order to be a breast surgical oncologist, you have to do 5 years of general surgery training typically. So I did that, and through that training process, I realized I really loved women's health. I loved breast health. I loved educating women on how to be advocates for themselves and really take care of themselves. And so that drew me into breast surgery. And so I went on to do a one-year breast fellowship in Maryland, and now I'm here.
I am sure with what you do, and especially you as a woman and dealing with women and these issues that we're going to get into talking today about breast cancer, boy, that you must have some real serious discussions and really, you know, a lot of one-on-one talks with them about, you know, options and where they stand and, you know, what's ahead.
Yeah, so usually my consultations with new breast cancer diagnosis patients, they run about an hour, and usually it's the woman, the patient herself, usually a couple family members, yeah. And we all kind of sit down and have a discussion about what it means, what you said, all their options. What's great about breast cancer care is it's so well treated. Typically it's caught very, very early, very high cure rates. So in that discussion, I like to tell patients that exact thing of, you know, this is an unfortunate diagnosis, but most of them are early stage. The therapies are wonderful. It'll just be kind of a really bad year for them, but they'll get past it. So that's what I kind of try to emphasize when I meet them.
When you talked about the women, you're talking to the woman and sometimes, you know, family members, is it good to bring someone along to be able to be there? Because I know in my case, when I've had situations, it's always good to have someone there. The things get said that afterwards, I don't even remember, you know, the doctor saying. And
absolutely. So I think there's, and I need to fact check this, but I've been told patients only retain about 20% of what you say in the consultation.
Oh, I can believe that. Yeah.
So I do, I've had, you know, not a small number of patients that come by themselves, and I actually ask them, as I'm washing my hands, I ask them, you know, is there somebody you want to FaceTime or have call into the appointment?
And that's a good idea.
Some of them will like think about it, and some of them say, you know, no, like I'll relay it to my partner or my family later. And that always gives me a little bit of hesitation, because I do worry about how much is being retained, because it's such a big conversation. It's a lot of information. It's, you know, cancer care in general is very complicated nowadays, but for good reason, because every patient is different, every treatment is different, every cancer is different, and so we really do try to tailor everything to that specific patient. It's not a one-size-fits-all anymore. Like, you know, 20 years ago, everybody pretty much got the same treatment, but yeah. Now it's really, really individualized for the better. So that can make the conversation complicated, though. So I do encourage patients to bring, you know, a close friend, family, adult children, or even, you know, small children if they want to. Anybody for extra set of ears and eyes.
Yeah, because I know in my case, when years ago when I had been diagnosed with cancer, there were things that were said that I'm sitting there the whole time just thinking, you know, he just said cancer.
Exactly. Yep. So I think it's a great idea for patients to bring anybody that they trust to come with them to that appointment.
I'm sure that first, especially that first visit, it's, you're just dealing with so much. Again, just shock sometimes by the person.
Yeah, exactly. So the way our system sort of works within Mary Washington is the radiologist does break the news to the patient. So when a radiologist typically do the biopsy, and then those results come to the radiologist. So they actually have a conversation with the patient and say, you know, I'm so sorry you have breast cancer, but your next step is to see a surgeon typically, and then they connect the patient to the surgeon. So by the time they see me, they usually already have their diagnosis. And so mine is more just explaining it, and then explaining all of their options and kind of sort of what they can expect. The one thing about breast cancer that's tricky, and I think a lot of different types of cancers, is each piece of data or each piece of information that you get along the way can kind of change things. So I try to give the best overview and kind of what they can expect. Yeah. But, you know, after surgery, some things can change. After, you know, certain tests are done, certain things can change. So I try to tell patients as much as they can to kind of take it one step at a time. But I do try to give like the bird's eye view of things that they could expect.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school at? What was your journey like?
Which part of school?
Right, because there's you've been to a few schools.
Yeah, so I did undergraduate at UCLA, and then crossed the country to do medical school at Drexel in Philadelphia, and then crossed the country again to do residency in Tucson, Arizona, crossed the country again to do fellowship in Annapolis, Maryland, and now staying on this coast for now.
That is a lot of, you're right, that's a lot of schools, but in a lot of, like you say, across the coast. I don't know, I've heard of that. Usually someone's around a certain area, so you like to travel.
I do. I like to explore different parts of the country and the world, and it's very cool being able, I think that's one thing about medicine is, because there's so much training involved typically, you get to try out different locations for anywhere between, you know, 4 to 7 years, kind of depending, so it can take you in lots of different paths.
How'd you end up in Fredericksburg?
So my fellowship was in Annapolis, Maryland. I liked it a lot. My significant other, he works in D.C., and I wanted to not move far away from him.
So, yeah, that makes total sense.
So I was trying to stay in the DMV area, and I really liked Fredericksburg. Originally, I was kind of looking at D.C., but I honestly don't think it would have been a great fit. Nothing against DC, but you know, there's so much traffic.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to live. But Fredericksburg, it's such a lovely community. It's got like small town vibes, but you know, there's a Costco. There's like major outlets.
Absolutely.
If you want to go to a bigger town, you can go to Richmond or DC. There's just so much, and there's so much history here. You know, part of my training was done on the West Coast, and there's just not that kind of history. You know, there's no battlefields out there. So I like Fredericksburg a lot. Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Aww, thank you.
Good to have you here. Dr. Meredith Whitaker here this morning from Mary Washington Healthcare. We're talking about breast surgery, and we're going to continue on. We'll take a quick break and be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Healthcare, and this morning, Dr. Meredith Whitaker is here, a breast surgeon, breast surgical oncology, our focus this morning. So what's the day like? What's your day like as a breast surgeon? What's it like?
So it kind of depends, but I'll kind of go through what today will be. So I do a morning clinic, so I'll see patients, not just breast cancer patients, but I see some benign things, like you might have heard, like fibroadenomas, little benign tumors that patients might want to have taken out. I also see patients that are in what we call surveillance, so they've had a breast cancer diagnosis in the past, and now we're just doing, you know, exams and checking in with them. So I'll have my morning clinic, and then in the afternoon, I have a couple operations over at the surgery center right next door to our office. And then after that, I have a few meetings tonight, and then like tomorrow, I do all day clinic. Some days I do all day in the operating room.
Boy, no one day is ever the same.
No, which is nice. It's good. I don't get bored.
Yeah. That's a lot of people you're seeing, and a lot of you know, just being involved with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would guess that the breast cancer surgery has really advanced over, you know, especially like in the past decade or so?
Yeah, I think the biggest move is more of a less is more type. So in the past, whenever somebody was diagnosed with breast cancer, we did these major operations, usually a mastectomy, taking out a lot of lymph nodes. And now, as we've learned more and done excellent studies with the help of, you know, these wonderful, courageous women who agree to be part of these studies, you know, thousands and thousands of women have been a part of this. And we've learned that we can do less surgery, less treatments, and have the same or even better outcomes sometimes. So, you know, it really reduces morbidity or reduces the complications and risks. And I think that's the most exciting thing is every year we try to do a little bit less invasive things to our patients, but with either the same outcome or even better.
That's interesting that just I had not heard that was, you know, as far as some of the advancements go.
Yeah, and I think at least in the surgical world, the most advancements are coming from studies looking at what to do with lymph nodes. So in the old days, we used to take out all the lymph nodes under a woman's armpit, thinking that that would, you know, cure them the best from their breast cancer. And now we do less and less of that. We take out less lymph nodes. In some circumstances, we don't have to take out any. And the reason why this is so important is you might have heard of something called lymphedema. It's permanent chronic arm swelling.
Yeah.
And that can happen if you remove lymph nodes under somebody's armpit because those lymph nodes drain the fluid from not just the breast but from the arm as well. So if those channels get disrupted, you can end up with swelling of the arm. And so we're trying to do less and less of that surgery because we don't want to give women swollen arms if we don't have to.
Right. It's what is, you know, because I know the age of, or, you know, in the age of getting of going in and being checked by doctors, it seems to always be changing. What's the thinking now as far as, you know, when do women need to start, you know, going in for checkups?
Yeah, so mammograms should start at age 40 unless you have a family member who was diagnosed with breast cancer at a young age. And then it's kind of confusing, but we take the youngest family member, subtract 10 years, and that's when a woman should start getting her mammograms.
Okay.
But and then I believe the recommendation is at the age of 25, every woman should at least have some sort of calculation done to see what her risk is, because really at the age of 25, you can start doing certain types of imaging, certain types of risk reduction strategies. So 25, talk to an OBGYN about what your breast cancer lifetime risk might be, and depending on what that is, certain imaging studies like mammogram or MRI may or may not be recommended.
And I guess it's important for women to know family history, to be able to talk to doctors about that, to know that if there's some kind of history in your family, that can play a role here.
Yeah, that's really important. But if women don't know their family history, like if they're adopted or something, we also take that into consideration and kind of put them in a high-risk category regardless, just because if you don't know your family history, then you know, it really could be anything. But yeah, having a thorough family history is very helpful for risk assessment.
Because I've in doing these shows in past years, I know in talking to some doctors, it has been if you do know that, it's good to pass that on, because then as either the surgeon or the doctor, you can make determinations.
Absolutely. So it especially comes into play if a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer. We try to assess, you know, is this something that just happened sporadically, like we'll never know why they got breast cancer, or is it something that was passed down through the family, through something in their genes that increased their risk of getting this breast cancer? And that's sometimes part of the whole cancer treatment plan is genetic testing. So if the doctor, a member of the cancer team, thinks that patient is at high risk, that the reason why they got their breast cancer was from something in their genes, then genetic testing will probably be recommended. And if the patient has a good understanding of her family history, it's a lot more helpful to make that assessment.
You mentioned just a few minutes ago just about studies and how those have aided in so much, and how, and I guess the takeaway there is, if you are asked to be part of a study, to if you do that kind of thing, because it does help. It helps with research and future people that are diagnosed.
It does. It's voluntary. Nobody has to do it. But right. The more women, the more patients who are a part of the studies, the more robust they are, the more they can, the more powerful they are in determining, you know, what's the best treatment, what should be the next standard of care. And actually here in Fredericksburg, we have open studies through the medical oncologist groups about to enroll patients in certain studies to look at, you know, various new treatments, plans for their treatments. So if a patient is interested, I highly recommend she talk to her medical oncologist about it.
Well, the fact that there are studies here is exciting. Those kinds of things are happening, you know, even right here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
We're talking with Dr. Meredith Whitaker this morning from Mary Washington Healthcare. You talked about one of the things, especially when you start having conversations with women about just women being advocates for themselves and how important that is.
Yeah. So I think it's, and I don't want to generalize, but I think as a whole, women tend to put others first, put their family first, kind of put their own needs on the back burner. But one great thing about breast health and, you know, having October be Breast Cancer Awareness Month is it gives women permission to put themselves first, at least, you know, for a short period of time. And it might be uncomfortable, but, I think it's really important to take care of yourself, get your screening mammograms, you know, talk to your doctors about what's going on. Because, you know, if you're not healthy, then how can you take care of your family and the people around you? So I like to emphasize that.
Well, and just how important it is to have the regular screenings and to take that seriously.
Absolutely. So yearly screening mammograms for women 40 and up.
Well, yeah. And because Whitney, you talked about a little bit earlier about just early detection. That's with anything, but especially with breast cancer.
Yeah. So most breast cancers are found on screening mammogram. We do get some patients who palpated something, who felt something in their breast, and we do still tell women to do, you know, monthly self-exams as long as it doesn't cause too much anxiety.
Yeah.
But the majority of women who are found to have breast cancer, it is found on a screening mammogram, because, you know, these tumors are found super, super small, super early. Like a physical exam by the patient or by a doctor wouldn't be able to find most of these cancers.
That's interesting, that because I wondered whether it was. You know, when you go in for the exam, or if it was the monthly, the self exams, but you still do recommend that.
Oh yes, yep.
And I guess the other thing there is, if you do suspect, even if it turns out to be nothing, don't wait on something like that. If you think this doesn't seem right,
absolutely,
go in and have it checked.
Yeah, absolutely. If you feel something, if something's been there for, you know, longer than a couple days, you can still feel it. Talk to your doctor. Interestingly, for a screening mammogram, you don't have to have a doctor's order. You can just call the imaging center and say, hey, I want my screening mammogram. They'll ask for a primary care doctor name to put on it, just so the imaging results can go to somebody. But you don't have to have an order. But if a woman feels something, if she feels something in her right breast, then unfortunately you do need a doctor's order, because it's a different type of mammogram and most likely an ultrasound as well. So if you feel something, definitely talk to your doctor to get those imaging studies ordered.
The whole, you talked about individualized treatments and how that, because I really did think it was with a lot of these, what we were talking about is it's kind of a, this is what you generally do, but you mentioned about how there's so much more individualized treatment now for all of these various cancers, which is exciting that you're learning more about various cancers and how to treat them.
Yeah, it is pretty exciting. So typically women do start with surgery, but even within surgery, there's lots of different options. You might have heard of women getting just a lumpectomy. It's also called a partial mastectomy. That's just removal of the tumor and a healthy rim of breast tissue around it, but the rest of the breast is preserved. Or some women one of their options is a mastectomy. Not every woman qualifies for a lumpectomy, but most women can choose either, and it's a really personal choice, lumpectomy or mastectomy. So that's just in surgery, and then there's even more options within that. So like if a woman chooses mastectomy, you can choose to have what's called an aesthetic flat closure and just have a flat chest afterwards, or talk to a plastic surgeon about having reconstruction. And then there's lots of different options for reconstruction. So even just on the surgery side, it's very individualized. It's a very personal choice.
Yeah, I'll say I did I had seen the lumpectomy and mastectomy. I mean, obviously knew about the mastectomy, but the lumpectomy is a newer term to me.
Yeah, so it's confusing because there's a lot of words that mean the same thing. So lumpectomy is the same as partial mastectomy, which is the same as breast conservation. There's probably even more terms than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's just removal of the tumor, and then the rest of the breast is preserved. Typically, lumpectomy comes with radiation afterwards. But yeah, that's the lumpectomy side.
Interesting stuff. And again, the whole thing about early detection, that ultimately, with as we talk about the various things that you do, early detection is so key. So don't put things off.
Absolutely. Yep. Very important.
Dr. Meredith Whitaker here this morning from Mary Washington Healthcare. Quick break. We'll continue on this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:29.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Meredith Whitaker in this morning from Mary Washington Healthcare. We're talking about breast cancer surgery and some really interesting stuff. And again, early detection. I'm sure that's one of the things, and just, you know, getting the yearly mammogram of how important that is. And that's why it's when you have Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a good chance to talk about some of these things.
Absolutely.
Are there some misconceptions that people have these days about breast cancer?
Yes. One thing I've heard a couple times in my clinic is patients are worried once surgery occurs, with that incision, somehow the tumor cells spread.
I have heard that.
Yeah, and that is not true. There's been wonderful studies that show that's not how breast cancer behaves. That's not how the cells behave. So that's not true. You know, once I make an incision, the tumors don't spread. They don't become metastatic. Sometimes down the road, patients do end up with metastatic disease, but that has nothing to do with the surgery. Unfortunately, yeah, that's just kind of something that can happen with breast cancer. But that's something that I've heard a few times in my clinic, and I try gently to tell patients that that's false and that they can rest assured that having surgery is for their benefit, and an operation is not going to make the cancer spread.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure the internet sometimes and the things that they can start spreading don't help your cause either.
Yeah, TikTok's not my friend most of the time.
Right, it's those kinds of things that we all take seriously and think, well, it must be true.
Yeah, I mean, I do encourage patients to, you know, talk to family and friends and, you know, get as much information as they can, but it is really important to know the sources and know that there's good data, good science behind it. But yeah, for that misconception in particular, surgery does not cause breast cancer to spread.
When a person is first diagnosed and you have that initial meeting, what are some of the things that you encourage people, especially as you're getting into this, because it is a journey?
Yeah. So I like to start out saying that, you know, this is early breast cancer. It's very treatable. There's lots of options. I encourage patients. Some patients ask me, you know, what can they do? What can they eat or do or exercise to, you know, help them along? And because eventually they'll most likely be an operation on their chest, on their breast. I do encourage patients to, you know, get out and walk, do some upper body exercises if they feel up to it. And sometimes it's called like prehab. Like you hear about patients having rehab after, you know, an orthopedic operation.
Yeah.
But there's this new move in a lot of different surgical areas to do prehab. So you kind of like get the body ready for the journey, ready for the operation. And then in terms of eating healthy, I don't think there's one specific diet that's been proven to help with breast cancer specifically, but I just encourage patients to, you know, try to eat leafy greens, you know, less sugar, less refined sugar products, not too many processed foods, kind of the whole foods in general, and try to, you know, pick a diet that they can stick to and that they feel good pursuing.
Yeah. Prehab, though. I've learned a new term today.
Yeah, yeah. It can be pretty effective. And actually, patients do tend to do a little bit better after their operation in terms of their arm mobility and,
yeah,
you know, how. And also, you know, exercise is wonderful for mental health. And obviously, having a breast cancer diagnosis is extremely stressful. And, you know, women aren't sleeping and they're worried all the time. So exercise can kind of, you know, help with those positive endorphins and get you feeling a little bit better in addition to the prehab part of things.
I know everybody's different, but after surgery, how long does it take to start, you know, recovering from something like that?
Yeah, so recovery happens, you know, the day or the moment they enter the recovery area. But it really depends on what their treatment has been so far and what operation they went under. So some patients who have to have chemotherapy before their surgery, they will most likely take a little bit longer to heal than patients who go straight to surgery after their diagnosis. If a patient undergoes a lumpectomy, I usually quote that recovery is like a week, maybe maximum two. I did have a patient who had a lumpectomy. She's a teacher, and she told me that she went back to work the very next day. So I tell that story to patients, and
wow.
I'm like, you know, I won't say you can't do that, but I do think that's pretty ambitious. But, you know, that's just to say that the operation for a lumpectomy is pretty well tolerated. If a patient chooses mastectomy or if mastectomy is part of her plan, usually recovery is longer, like 4 to 6 weeks. A drain is in place. There's a lot of extra things that go along with mastectomy. But the other thing that I tell patients who have lumpectomy, where radiation is most likely going to be recommended, is they have their lumpectomy, and then about 6-ish weeks later, then they start radiation. So by that 6 weeks mark, they should be totally healed, but probably feel normal and kind of back to their normal self. Maximum 2 weeks.
So you're working with a lot of what's your relationship as you work with other doctors, you know, like working with as a person goes through radiation, or I guess you're working not only with other physicians but then in staying in touch with the patient?
Oh yeah, so breast cancer care is truly multidisciplinary. You know, there's the medical oncologist, there's the radiation oncologist,
yeah,
there's the surgeon, there's the nurse navigator. There's, you know, all the nurses that are part of those different offices. We're all trying to coordinate the patient's care through this very oftentimes complicated journey. But yeah, I'm in very close communication with, you know, radiation oncologists, medical oncologists. We're constantly bouncing ideas off of each other, talking about patients, making sure that we're on the same page as to, you know, what is it that I'm going to do in the operating room that will affect their treatment later on.
Yeah.
It's very... we all work really, really well together to really try to maximize the not only the outcome but the patient's experience through all of this.
I never thought of that. What you do or what others are doing at the same time will impact. You all have to really work in concert with each other.
Absolutely, and that's why we also have something called a like a multidisciplinary like tumor board where all of us doctors and nurses get together and we talk about complicated patients and discuss their case and all put our heads together to figure out what are, you know, what's our highest recommendation or what are some alternatives, really trying to tailor that care to the patient. And that's where, yeah, all of us come together, you know, the surgeons, the medical oncologists, everybody who's part of that surgical team. And a topic that often gets thrown around is, you know, if I do, as a surgeon, if I do this, how does that impact radiation? How does that impact possibly chemotherapy? If I don't do this, how does that impact the other parts of that care? Because like I mentioned at the beginning, each piece of data that you gather through this process kind of changes things.
Yeah.
And so if you don't do something or you do something, you have to be prepared for how that impacts the other people, the other doctors, and the patient ultimately.
Well, and as a patient, that makes me feel good that to know that you all are talking and decisions are being made
that. Yeah, we talk very, very frequently.
Well, and I know, again, to go back to a lymphoma that I had years ago, it was one of these boards where everyone got together and my treatment was changed because of that. And to know that those kinds of things are going on, a lot of things that we, you know, as a patient, we may never know about.
Yeah, yeah. But we all just want to do the best thing for the patient and get them through this terrible time.
Speaking of that, so after going through the terrible time, how long then do you stay in touch with patients, and how frequently do they come back for kind of checkups or maintenance kinds of things?
That's a great question. So I typically see patients every 6 months for the first 2 years after their treatment, after I operate on them, and then I stretch it out to yearly as long as they're doing well. And that's kind of called like surveillance, the surveillance phase. And it's not just me who's seeing these patients though too. Usually they're established with a medical oncologist who's seeing them, you know, twice a year, maybe once a year. And then the radiation oncologists do see the patients a little bit after the radiation, but typically don't follow them too long term. But after 5 years, then I'll kind of hand the patient back off to the primary care doctor or their OBGYN or their medical oncologist if they still have one, because at that point, they're really just needing a yearly mammogram and a yearly clinical exam. And hopefully they don't need my services anymore as a surgeon.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our standard.
Wow. But you said every 6 months for the first couple of years to see. I mean, to me, I would want to keep coming in just for insurance, to feel like, you know, somebody's still, hey, I had this, I don't want it to come back.
Right, right. Yeah, and we don't want it to come back either, so that's why we keep a pretty close eye on these patients.
Does it come back? I mean, I know it can.
It can. It depends on the stage. And breast cancer, it's sneaky in that it can come back 10 years from the original diagnosis, 20 years sometimes. It really depends. Most patients, it doesn't come back, but for the small few where it does, it tends to be one that kind of waits around to come back.
Yeah. Well, I just think this. Dr. Whitaker, I just think as we talk about this and think about just how far we've come, because I just think of when years ago, like our grandparents, when you would get a diagnosis of breast cancer, it was often just seen as fatal, as a lot of diseases now, but it's not anymore. As we talk about this, and you talk about just, you know, whether it's the yearly mammograms or just all the various things that you have at your disposal, well, we really have come a long way.
Oh, it's such a long way. Yeah, I mean, you know, when my grandmother had breast cancer, it was mastectomy, taking out a bunch of lymph nodes. It's the treatment was pretty significant, and
it was hard treatment too.
Yeah, it was a lot more than it is now. So now, again, we're not reducing the amount of treatment, but we're doing less with the same outcome or even better.
Yeah,
which I think is best for patients in the end.
And I'm sure that especially with this, that's one of the things you also have to you also deal with, of just if people don't know some of these things, you think the worst immediately about the you know, how am I going to feel, and in all these things. And I guess that's one of the things that you're able to kind of coach people through, and you know, reassure them.
Yeah, I do. I do quite a bit of reassurance. And I think, you know, one of the things about breast cancer, too, is, you know, it's not the same as colon cancer. It's not the same as some of these other types of cancer. It's, you know, women, you know, identify with that part of their body, and
right.
making a change to it is a huge deal. And, you know, I think really hard about that. And something I do, you know, in the end, I do have to operate on most of these patients, but, you know, I try to hide the scars as much as possible. I want them to feel as whole as they can through this process. And the more I can, you know, minimize the long-term effects, the better I feel and the better I hope they feel. But yeah, breast cancer, it's such a sensitive area. It's an emotional yeah. part of the body. So I do think it's different. And again, I'm biased because I'm a breast surgeon, but it is different than other kinds of cancers.
No, sure. I was gonna ask you that about how difficult it is in this just because of just the psychological or just the feeling of how you look. That you're right, that's a good way to put it. It's different than some other kinds of cancer that are unseen.
Yeah, and something that I think about in training, I had this patient who was. I think she's BRCA positive, and so she had opted to have her ovaries removed, and then she was, I was a trainee at the time, so she's talking to the surgeon about possibly having her breast removed, and she told us that having her ovaries removed felt much less invasive than having mastectomies, and like as a surgeon, it's a challenging concept because you're like, well, taking ovaries is much more invasive. It's like an intra-abdominal operation.
Yeah.
There's lots more risks. There's lots more complications. You're losing the estrogen. You're putting yourself into menopause. Like from a scientific standpoint, you're like, well, that's way more invasive. But I totally understood what she was saying is that, you know, she doesn't see her ovaries, but she sees her mm-hmm. breasts every day. So having her breasts removed and totally changed, whether she got reconstruction or not, that's a much like every day you're reminded of what
right.
you have.
Yeah. We haven't talked about this, and it may not even be a thing, but so many doctors come through here and we talk about things like robotic surgery or 3D and things. Do you do any of that kind of thing?
Oh, that's such a good question, because robotic breast surgery is something that's being done. It can only be done as part of research, because the FDA has not approved robot for soft tissue mastectomies, but there is a surgeon in Texas who is running a study, and she does robotic mastectomies, and it's very cool. I don't know if it'll become super widespread, but again, you can only do it if you're doing it on some sort of research protocol, but I think that's probably the only thing I know about robotics is,
okay.
is they're trying to bring it to mastectomy. I would be open for it if I got trained on the robot as a general surgeon, so I'm familiar with the platform. I think it's a lot more ergonomic for surgeons,
yeah.
and if it improves outcomes, if it right now they take a little bit longer, the operation itself, it takes a little bit longer than standard, so if that gets faster and it's better outcomes, I would be all for it.
Interesting. It's just again the technology is
yeah.
it's just amazing, and just the things that you that we've talked about this morning, the fact that you can have all of this kind of these kinds of surgeries and these things right here. It's available at Mary Washington, and you don't have to travel
absolutely
outside the community.
Yep we have I totally agree.
Well, and we've talked in years past when we have done these shows, but I know the American College of Surgeons and the National Accreditation Program for Breast Centers accredits has given Mary Washington high accreditation on these kinds of things. So you can just from talking to you and knowing some of the other surgeons and doctors in the area, you're getting great care in this area.
Yeah, that's actually a really challenging accreditation to get, because there's so many standards, and they're very high standards, so you really do need all of the pieces in place, even more of the pieces, meaning, you know, the nurse navigators, the medical oncologists. You need to have that multidisciplinary tumor board. You have to have a certain amount of patients presented at
yeah.
each of those meetings. So it's a very high standard to get that accreditation, and Mary Washington has met it and exceeded it for I actually don't know how many years.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. We'll just say a lot. But yeah, no. I mean, when you get that diagnosis and the fear that you naturally have, but to know that you've got that kind of accreditation and these kind of doctors and these kinds of options, has to make you or your family feel a little bit better.
I would hope so. I would definitely hope so, because it does mean that there's certain things in place that patients can be guaranteed that they'll receive certain options. So I hope that brings some comfort to patients.
Dr. Meredith Whitaker here this morning with Mary Washington Healthcare. One final break and we'll wrap this up this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff here this morning with Dr. Meredith Whitaker with Mary Washington Hospital. Thank you for coming in, especially this month, to talk about these kinds of things, because we deal with this all the time. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
So we have a great website. It's breastcare.mwhc.com, and you can learn all about our breast program, read up on all the different surgeons, all the different specialties that Mary Washington offers. It's a great resource for patients.
What advice do you give to people who just get diagnosed, the terror and just the fear that you normally have? What's your advice?
Oh, that's a great question that I haven't thought about before.
And there may not be any one thing of just trust the process, I guess. And you know, as you've described things, there are a lot of people involved and a lot of technology involved.
Yeah. What advice? I do think most patients just want the reassurance that this is treatable, it's manageable, they're going to get through it. Their families will probably have to step up a little bit to help them through this, but with the support of their loved ones and their community, they'll get through it and be on the other side of it soon. So I guess my advice would just be, go to your doctor's appointments. Just try to do your best, but nobody's perfect. Everybody has little hiccups, and not everything will be super smooth. Like I mentioned before, different pieces of information you get through the process can kind of change things. So try to be as flexible as possible, given the new information. But again, I realize it's super challenging. Everybody wants to know, what can I expect? What's the timeline? When can I be done with this? When can I be done with, that? So just try your hardest to, what you said, trust the process. Yeah.
Again, the website of getting in touch with you, Dr. Whitaker?
Breastcare.mwhc.com.
Dr. Meredith Whitaker with Mary Washington Healthcare. Great to have you in here this morning. Thank you for getting up early and coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.